I believe that for the human being, one of the most hardest things, challenging things, is standing still. Working over at the school, I see kids lined up all the time and they're twitching and they're moving and some can't control themselves and they want to get out of line. Maybe you were in the military and you were told to stand at attention for what seemed like hours at a time. Those of you who work at cash registers and different things, you have to stand still. You can't move around. We're living in a day and age where we're being told to stand still, to not move, stay indoors. And if you can relate to being standing still, then you can relate to the children of Israel as they were in captivity in Egypt. Let us pray. God of heaven, we thank you for this glorious Sabbath morning. Father, rain down upon us. Though we are far in between, God, your church will still reign victorious through your people. Guide and direct our hearts and our minds, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus 14, and we'll begin our study in Exodus 14. Prior to this, the children of Israel had been in captivity for 400 plus years. 400 years of being somewhat slaves to the Egyptians. After the death of Joseph, life got hard for the Israelites. And now God, this time had come that he was going to rise up and take his children out of captivity. And what he did was rose up Moses. And Moses was instructed to go before Pharaoh, to go before him and show the mighty wonders, the mighty display of the hand of God. And so the plagues went over Egypt, back and forth in Pharaoh's desire to let the children of Israel go, and then back and forth, teetering back and forth. And then finally, the final plague that came over the land of Egypt. This plague was of the angel of death passing over the household that did not have the blood of the Lamb over its doorposts. And so the night came that all the people who believed in this put blood of the sacrificed lamb over the doorposts of their homes. And terror struck the land of Egypt. Death was everywhere of the firstborn of each house. Pharaoh, in devastation, finally said to Moses, "Go, make your sacrifices to your God. Get out of here." And the children of Israel fulfilled what God said to Moses at the burning bush, that they would plunder the land of Egypt. They went out in abundance, leading them into what seems like a barren wasteland. The Lord God was in a pillar of cloud by day, in a fire by night, never leaving them, always with them, moving in the direction that God had planned. Now, as we get into the story of Exodus 14 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi'al Hathroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord.' And they did so." God was directing them in a way that was going to lead them into war. And God didn't want that for the children of Israel right away. He knew that if he did that, they would turn back to Egypt. So he led them in a different route. In verse 2, it says that they turned and camped at these different places. Well, these places have significant meaning, friends, because these were strongholds of the Egyptians, so that when war was coming into the land of Egypt, these strongholds, these arsenals, they would report back to Egypt. God was leading them into a place of what seemed like pure destruction. To the right, this territory. To the left, that territory. And before them, the Red Sea. Continuing in verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. Crisis was coming over the land of Egypt and all the people, and their hearts of the Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" You see, they were at a point now of looking at all the destruction, looking at the misery, looking at how are we going to build this place back up. All of our help is gone. All of our slaves are gone. The children of Israel turned in their, the Egyptians turned in their thoughts, turned in their minds, and they said, this was mere coincidence. This wasn't some deity, some God. The children of Israel had lied the whole time. Let's go and get them. And Pharaoh's mind was now turned to destroying the children of Israel. And what happened next was that Pharaoh took hold of his whole arsenal. It says that he made ready all of his chariots, some 600 choice chariots, and all of the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. This was the weapon piece of this day and age. When you look at hieroglyphs, it's two horses drawn, pulling a cart of one who was steering, one who had the reins of the horses, and then there was another with arrows and spears. The heart of Pharaoh, the Lord, hardened in verse 8. And the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. They didn't even think about looking back at the destruction that God had just done. Verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hethroth and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, in this moment, they have the natural reaction, the right to be in terror. What they thought was destroyed and left in waste is now pursuing them, hearing the horse beats, the pounding, the thundering, seeing the smoke rising, hearing the war cries of the Egyptian army at their tail. They look to their right, there's mountains. Look to the left, there's mountains. And before them, a vast sea. And in hot pursuit, camped behind them is the Egyptian army. Tension is rising amongst the children of Israel. And what is beginning to take place? Again, they were afraid and they had every right to be afraid. But now the mask of them are starting to be unveiled. The true self is coming out. Continuing in verse 11, then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. The minds of the Israelites are full of fear and terror. And what they want in that moment of fear and terror is to go back to serving as a slave rather than facing the unknown in the wilderness, in the desert, with what seems like no voice, no answer from God. And in that moment, Moses is hearing the complaints and hearing the cries. He's human. He's looking back and he's seeing all the terror of Egypt coming at them. But what Moses does is that he speaks for the living God. In verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Moses is giving this divine command. This command is always given when the Lord God is going before his people. Do not be afraid. Stand still. But as I said earlier, Moses' heart is filled with fear as well. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod." The rod, friends, that Moses was in the wilderness tending to the sheep. When he came upon the burning bush, that rod that God said, "Cast it down," and it became a serpent. That rod that God said, "Pick up it by the tail," and it became a staff again. The same rod that did the mighty wonders of the Lord God. God is telling Moses to lift it up and stretch it out over the sea. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of that sea. And I indeed will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I have gained honor for myself over the over his Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. At that moment, friends, I believe the pillar of cloud that was leading the children of Israel went up like a fiery tornado and placed itself back behind the children of Israel, protecting them from the onslaught of the Egyptians. And so it came down in verse 20. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, the Egyptians, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Friends, when God moves, you will know God moving, just as we see here in the passage. Then Moses knew what to do because the Lord God had told him in verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided, so that the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on to their left. Imagine it, friends, the sheer wonder at what God is doing, his blowing of his nostrils, his hand dividing the waters. Can't you see the aquatic life all around as the children of Israel are moving forward on dry ground? In verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, this is sometime in between 2 in the morning and 6 a.m., that the Lord looked down upon the Egyptians through the pillar of fire. God is watching. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels. He confounded them with mud so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptian says, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." God confounded the minds of the Egyptians. They thought that they were going to pursue them. They thought that they were getting a pathway, but God was fighting for Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And then the water returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. And in 29, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall on them, on their right and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. God was leading the children of Israel and doing amazing wonders. Amazing things, and all the children of Israel had to do was stand and watch. But God was leading them into the wilderness. The word wilderness, midbar, is wilderness and desert. But the root word, dabar, so from the root word, dabar, it means to speak. Keep that in mind. Those of you who have seen the desert, have been to the desert, you've seen the beauty of its majesty. You've seen the flowering plants, the cactuses, colors vast on display, the different hues of red, oranges, browns. It's an amazing, amazing handiwork of God. But the scorching heat of the day, you can't survive there. The freezing cold of night, you're going to die. Plants that if you touch them would wound you and cause so much severe pain that if left untreated would be infected. Venomous snakes and scorpions that are waiting and to pounce, to sink their venomous venom inside of you to kill you. Many of you right now are in a desert place, a place of questioning, a place of uncertainty, a place, if left alone, would cause you to question the living God. Let God speak. The desert that each of us are in right now has a feeling of being left alone. A feeling of abandonment, a feeling of being stripped of our normal way of life. In your desert, all of the stuff that's around you right now that you're looking at, maybe to some of you, is seeming meaningless. The God of Israel was leading his people through, though it was dreary, though it was an expanse of wasteland, in Israel's darkest hour, God came through. What seemed like at the last moment, he still came through. Do not be afraid and stand still. Stand still in your anxiety. Stand still in your nervousness. Stand still in your helplessness, in your inability to know what's next. Stand still in your questioning about, well, what if this scenario happens? And what if that scenario happens? Stand still in your inability to fully believe, to fully comprehend of the Red Sea crossing. God split the sea so that they could walk right through. He drowned their fears in perfect love. But maybe you say that, you know what, Pastor Josh, that was then. This is now. Maybe you're saying, you know, this isn't the Red Sea. This is sheer uncertainty. God has split the sea of uncertainty, friends, and has made a way. He has split the waters that want to drown you. He has split the fear that wants to panic you. You who are slaves to fear. You who call yourself children of the living God, let God sing over you. Songs of deliverance over your enemies. Let him sing till all your fears are gone. Stand still. Do not be afraid. Friends, Jesus has crossed the horizon to find you. He knows your name, your pain. It's Satan who has stolen your heart. It's Satan who has taken your courage. It's him who desires to live inside of you. This is not who you are. This is not what you are called to be. Stand still. Do not be afraid. God will split the sea so that you, friends, can walk right through. Wherever you are right now, in your living room with your families, whether you're in your bedroom listening to yourself, whether you've never heard of Bowman Hills and you're just now for the first time tuning in, God is speaking to you. This uncertainty that has taken hold of you, that has gripped you with fear, it is none other than the workings of Satan. Right now, friends, I urge you to listen to the voice of Jesus calling to your heart, calling to you to believe in him, calling to you to looking back at your past and saying, I need you, Jesus. I need your blood to cover me, to forgive me of your sins. I am begging you, friends, right now. In the midst of chaos in the world, allow the still small voice to come inside of you and speak to you. Lay those burdens, those pains, the anxiety, the negativity, lay it down at the foot of Jesus and allow him to work his mighty wonders in your life. Some of you are wondering what's going on. Some of you don't know. Friends, let Jesus pour forth in your life. I believe right now, Revelation 20 is more profound than ever. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and they with me. Friends, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Now look full in his wonderful face, because all of the earth is going to go strangely dim in the light of the glory of Jesus. God of heaven, we need you now more than ever. I ask for a hedge of protection over the members of Bowman Hills. I ask for a hedge of protection over all of those who are listening in right now. That their hearts be made new, that the fear, that the anxiety be done away with. Jesus, shine your light on to the hearts who are faint. God of heaven, cause us to stand still and do not be afraid. Thank you for your workings. Thank you for your mighty word that causes the sea of fear to be split open and for us to walk right through. I pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.